Your speaker in this lesson is Larry Acuff.
Turn your Bible to the book of Acts, chapter number 5. In Acts chapter 5, the Bible tells us about a couple by the name of Ananias and Sapphira. And what I want you and I to look at today, and that is lessons that we can learn from Ananias and Sapphira. Ladies and gentlemen, when you think about the church of our Lord Jesus Christ, and you think about the strength and the growth of the church, the Bible tells us in Acts 2 and verse 47 that the Lord added to the church daily those that were being saved. When you go through this great book of Acts, and especially, ladies and gentlemen, when you look at the first 11 chapters of Acts, you're going to run across words like multiply, and the word added, and the word grow, and the brethren grew, the Bible tells us. As you and I look at this, we see that the church of our Lord Jesus Christ grew tremendously. As a matter of fact, on the day of Pentecost, when they obeyed the gospel of Christ, there were 3,000 who obeyed the gospel of our Lord. In a couple of chapters, we find the Bible says that there were 5,000 men, not counting the women and children. And so you and I can see how that the church is growing. It's exciting. I want to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, it is exciting to be in a growing congregation. It is exciting to be with a group of individuals who love the Lord Jesus Christ, who are dedicated, who are exuberant, who are growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says, 1 Corinthians 15, verse number 58, "Be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord." In the book of 2 Peter 3 and verse 18, the Bible says, "But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, in the growth of this, in a congregation like that, folks get excited. Ananias and Sapphira got excited. They looked at others around them. You see, ladies and gentlemen, you may not realize the influence that you may have. Ananias and Sapphira, they were excited. And the very thing that had excited them was recorded in chapter number 4. If you go back up for a couple of verses, the Bible says that the people had land and they sold it and they brought these possessions and laid them at the feet of the apostles. The Bible says that Barnabas had done so. You and I see what others do and we get excited. We see an individual who is dedicated, who is determined to do the will of God, and who wants to march for the Master, and we get excited. Ananias and Sapphira got excited. Ladies and gentlemen, they saw what was going on, and they got together, and they said, "I tell you what, why don't we do that?" And they did. They brought their gift to Peter. Ananias came first. Ananias came first and he gave the gift. And as a result of that, he lied to God and to Peter and to the church and he died. 3 hours later, his wife Sapphira, she came in. Peter said, "You sold the property for how much?" "Yeah, we sold it for that much. And I'm giving you my part of it." I don't understand why he didn't just give it all. Well, I think I do understand. And that is, they were looking for the glory that comes from man and not from God. As you and I observe this, this is just so fascinating to me that she said, "Yes, we sold it for so much." And listen to this. Peter said, "The men that carried your husband out and buried him are going to carry you out and bury you also." Do they not have any family? The guy died, they wrapped him up, the Bible says, and took him out and buried him. 3 hours later, his wife comes in, she lies, she dies, they wrap her up, take her out and bury her. Now there's some lessons, ladies and gentlemen, that you and I can learn from this. Lesson number one, lessons from Ananias and Sapphira. Lesson number one is, sin loves company. Now, ladies and gentlemen, look at this. You and I see that Ananias, and the devil is excited when he sees that sin involves more people. You and I reckon, go back to the Old Testament, the book of Genesis, chapter number 3, and what happened? The Bible says that the devil said to Eve, "Thou shalt not surely die." She ate of the fruit, and she took it to her husband, and the Bible says, "And he did eat." You see, ladies and gentlemen, sin does not just affect you. Men have the idea that, hey, I can sin and it doesn't have any effect on anyone else. Oh, no, no, no. You and I can understand that sin loves company. The devil, he gets some satisfaction, ladies and gentlemen, when he realizes that he can get someone else in his class as a result of a sin that you and I commit. Now, there are some sins that you're going to commit alone. For an example, a sin of fornication. You cannot sin alone in fornication, someone else involved. But you and I must recognize that one of the lessons that we can learn, and that is that sin loves company. One of the tragic situations that occurs in our country today, and that, ladies and gentlemen, is the slack attitude that our society, not you, not the church, but the slack attitude that our society has toward homosexuality. You see, here is the objective. I remember about 15 years ago, Brother David Sain, who preached in Florence, Alabama, gave a lecture at Fried Hardeman University, and he had a notebook 15 years ago about like this of instances or concepts and attitudes and thinking regarding homosexuality. And he said, "Brethren, you better be careful because there is an onslaught of these individuals. What are they trying to do? They are trying to make that acceptable in your mind. They're not satisfied, ladies and gentlemen." Do you hear the phrase? "And they came out of the closet." Why? Because they're asking you to accept that which is against nature. Why? Because sin loves company. Just go to a bar. Go to a high school dance. You see, ladies and gentlemen, sin wants someone else involved with it. Because the devil can then be sober, be vigilant. Your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walking about seeking whom he may devour. And so when you and I look at the lessons that we can learn from Ananias and Sapphira, one of them is that sin loves company. Number two, we learn from Ananias and Sapphira, ladies and gentlemen, the powerful influence that husbands and wives have on each other. Ananias and Sapphira conspired together. Isn't that what the Bible says? Peter said, "Why have you done..." Take your Bible. Turn to Acts chapter 5 real quick. I want you to look at this phrase and maybe underline it in your Bible and in your mind. Look at this, folks. When you look at verse number 9, "Then Peter said to her, 'How is it that you have agreed together?'" Husbands and wives. You and I can realize, I think so much of Ahab and Jezebel. And the impact that Jezebel had on Ahab. She was the daughter of a king. And she led Ahab and she led the nation of Israel. She led them, ladies and gentlemen, into idolatry. The impact and the influence. You don't think a woman has any influence on a man? Then go ask Samson how he got his hair cut. You and I must recognize the powerful impact. Not only does it happen, ladies and gentlemen, for bad, but it can also happen for good. I think of Aquila and Priscilla. I think of this wonderful couple. The Bible says that they had church, quote, worship in their home. They took Apollos aside and taught him more perfectly the way of the Lord. I think of Manoah and his wife. Go to the book of Judges and read in the book of Judges about 7, 8, 9, somewhere in there, and you read about Samson's mom and dad and how the angel of the Lord came to her, and she went to her husband, and they taught, and the word we, that pronoun we want to do what's right for our son. We want to hear what the angel of the Lord says. You go to Elkanah and Hannah, the parents of Samuel. Ladies and gentlemen, the impact and the influence that a man has on his wife and that a wife has on the husband. The Bible says, 1 Corinthians chapter 7, do you remember that Paul said, how do you know that a husband will not lead his wife to Christ? And I'm paraphrasing this, and to Christ, or that a woman will lead her husband to Christ? Or 1 Peter chapter 3, the Bible says, if a man be not won by the word, that he may be won by the chaste conversation of the wife. The influence, the powerful influence of a husband and wife. I cannot tell you today the number of men and women who are no longer faithful to the body of Jesus Christ because of their mates. And vice versa. You see, the impact and the influence that a wife and that a husband, that they have on each other. That's a lesson that we can learn from Ananias and Sapphira. Lesson number 3. And that is, ladies and gentlemen, that sin begins in the heart. The Bible says, why in your heart have you done it? Look at chapter 5. Look at what the Bible says. The Bible said, why hath Satan filled thy heart? The Bible says in Proverbs 4:23, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. The Bible says in Proverbs 23, verse 7, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. What controls the heart? Let me give you 3 things, ladies and gentlemen, that can... The heart is the mind. I'm not talking about the pump. We get heart transplants. We need mind transplants. I want to give you 3 things. What controls the heart? What you see, what you read, and what you hear. If you want to control your heart, ladies and gentlemen, you be careful of what you see. Oh, somebody said, oh, Brother Cup, those things don't bother me. The Bible says, wherefore let him that thinketh these things take heed lest he fall. You cannot fill your mind with filth and trash on television and in the movies and keep your heart pure. You got to watch what you see. What you see, what you read. If the Lord came into your house to visit, would you got to go run and hire the National Enquirer? Would he be able to find a copy of the Gospel Advocate? Or is the Lord going to find People magazine in my house? Why? Because what you see and what you read affects your heart and what you think. Number 3 is what you hear. Somebody wants to tell you something that's a little bit on the shady side. You have the guts to say, I'm not going to listen to that. You see, the Bible says, why has Satan filled your what? Filled your heart. What can we learn from Ananias and Sapphira? We can learn, ladies and gentlemen, from Ananias and Sapphira that sin begins in the heart. Okay, number 4. Lessons from Ananias and Sapphira number 4 is this, that sin comes in clusters. Now watch this. What do they do? They coveted. They coveted. Do you see the sins that are involved? They coveted. They stole. They stole from God. Oh, wasn't it your, while it remained your, while you had, wasn't it in your power? Yes. They were going to give it for pride. See, they, see again, covetousness, pride, lying. If you want to see a great picture of this, over in Joshua chapter number 7, the Bible tells us about the children of Israel. You remember they had gone around the wall of Jericho. It fell. They come out. They went up to Ai and they were defeated. And when Joshua was down on the ground praying, God said, get up out of off the ground. There's sin in the camp. And he began to search it out and he found this fellow by the name of Achan. Achan said, watch this, I saw. I coveted. I took. I hid. And he died too. You see, sin comes in clusters. Oh, you say, hey, oh, Brother Acuff, I'm just going to tell a little lie. No, sir. What you're going to tell is a lie that's going to turn into deceitfulness or covetousness or adultery or fornication or something else. Sin comes in clusters. You see, ladies and gentlemen, when you and I look at what sin is able to do, do you see what sin did to Adam and Eve and to the world? Do you and I understand what sin does to the heart of a man and therefore to everyone with whom he comes into contact with? Ananias and Sapphira found that sin comes in clusters. Lesson number 5. Ananias and Sapphira found out that being in a good atmosphere doesn't prevent you from sinning. I mean, ladies and gentlemen, can you imagine? Here Ananias and Sapphira are in a church of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's fresh. It's new. It has just been established. There's excitement. Souls. I mean, you think about this. Every day, people are being baptized into Christ. Man, folks are giving money. They're selling their possessions. And you would think, what better atmosphere can you have? And they sinned. I think about Judas. I think about Judas. You see, ladies and gentlemen, Judas was with Jesus Christ. Be careful. Oh, somebody said, Brother Acuff, I've been going to church all my life. This little bit of dancing and petting that I'm going to... Watch out, you're going to commit fornication. Be careful. Oh, Brother Acuff, I can drink socially and it not... Watch out, you're going to become an alcoholic if you're not careful and influence somebody else. You may go to services every Sunday morning, every Sunday night. Now, you look also and you see, I see the reverse of this. I see individuals like Esther. And she was the queen of Ahasuerus. And it didn't matter what the situation was around her. She did what was right. I think about in the book of Genesis, the Bible tells us about the wickedness of man was great on the earth and every imagination of the thought of his heart was only evil continually. And the Bible says in that Enoch walked with God. Think about it. Well, it was tough with Esther too. It was tough with Noah and his family. It was tough with Enoch. But the point is this. Having a perfect setting. I want to tell you, Adam and Eve had a perfect setting. I mean, he was in a perfect situation. And they sinned. That's why you have to be on guard. Number 6. Or 7, I don't know. And that is that God... The lesson we can learn from Ananias and Sapphira is God sees your life and your heart and your sin and you can't dodge it. Now you think about this, my friend. The Bible says that the hair of your head is numbered. But watch it. If He knows the number of hairs on your head, you mean to tell me He doesn't know? Listen to this. The Bible says that man looks on the outward appearance, God looks at the heart. You can't hide from God. Adam and Eve thought they could. Adam and Eve thought, well, hey, Adam, where are you? I was afraid and I was naked and I hid myself. Young people, you can go out and do whatever you want to do, but I'm going to tell you this, because I love you, God knows exactly what you're doing. Now I want you to look at the next point. Number seven, you'll be punished. Not just young people. No, I'm not. But I want you to understand, my friend, God doesn't overlook sin. Well, this one time. No, sir, they died, folks. Over in the book of Numbers, when the children of Israel had gone into the land of Canaan, and the half tribe of Manasseh and the half tribe of Ephraim, they said to Joshua, we want to go on the east side of the Jordan. We want that. Manasseh and Ephraim were the sons of Joseph. And they said, we want to go on the east side of the Jordan. And Joshua said, that's fine. You can do that. You can have it. But you must remember that you must come over and help your brethren conquer the western side, conquer their land. And Joshua said, if you do not, be sure your sin will find you out. Ladies and gentlemen, my clock and God's don't operate on the same battery. And you see what happens? I can go out here today or tomorrow or next week and I can involve myself in sin and I can say, you know, man, this is fun. Man, this is great. Hey, you know what? You can go out tonight and sin, commit fornication, adultery, drink, do whatever you choose to do, rob, cheat, lie, and steal. Tomorrow the day is as bright and shiny as it was the day before. But God doesn't operate on your clock. Consequences will come. Now, number eight, what do we learn from Ananias and Sapphira? And that is that a Christian can fall from grace. Denominationalists say, no. Once you're saved, you're always saved. Well, then have a chat with Ananias and Sapphira and see how that works. You see, ladies and gentlemen, the Bible says again, and we mention this everywhere, for let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. You and I must understand that we must guard our heart, our lives. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord, the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand. Put on that armor. Why? Because we're going to be fighting the devil. Ladies and gentlemen, put on the breastplate of righteousness. Have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Put on the helmet of salvation. Take the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit. Why? Because the devil is going to do whatever he can to conquer us. Lessons learned from Ananias and Sapphira. Now, my friend, one lesson that you and I must recognize today, and that is that we cannot sin without impunity. We cannot sin without impunity, but I'll tell you what we can do. We can get rid of it. We can wash it away. Oh, time will take care of it. Yeah, ask Jezebel how much time takes care of it. God told her, the dogs are going to eat you up, man. There won't be nothing left but your skull, a palm, your hand, your feet. 20 years go by. 20 years. She's on the wall of Jezreel. Jehu comes through. Who's on the Lord's side? We are. They throw her down. He rides over with his chariot, goes in and eats, and says, go out and bury her. She is the daughter of a king. And they went out and they didn't find anything but the skull, palms of her hand, her feet. 20 years after God said, this is what's going to happen. Ladies and gentlemen, I want God on my side, don't you? Not against me. I want Him on my side. I tell you what you can do with that sin. He'll forget it. He will forget it. Let me tell you how to get Him to forget it. Submit to His will and wash it away in a watery grave. Your sins and iniquities will I remember against you no more.